To the Romans and to chapter 8 as we continue with our sermons in this part of the Word of God. For this evening, we begin really a new set of verses. That's as far as our reading is concerned. And we take up the verses then at verse 26 and reading to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 8 and beginning this evening then at verse 26 of the chapter. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In these verses that we come to this evening and our sermons in Paul's epistle to the Romans, the Lord's apostle is pointing us up to one of the great provisions that has been made for those who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, still on the face of this earth of ours, and awaiting that day when we shall be brought into heaven and into glory at last. That provision, of course, is the interceding work of the Holy Spirit of God on our behalf. And as you can see from the very first opening word of the verset, it is a provision that is made for us very much in connection with that side of the Christian calling in the world that has to do with the things that we are called to endure, the things that we are called to suffer indeed as we endeavour to live the Christian life in the way that we are called to live the Christian life before the Lord. In the previous set of verses, you remember, beginning with verse 17 of the chapter, it is those sufferings of the Christian life that the Lord's apostle has been speaking about. But he has been speaking about them, of course, over against the glories that are to be revealed in those who are believers in Jesus Christ the Lord. And as he comes into this next set of verses, so he begins, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and so on. You see, alongside the sufferings of this present time that he has been speaking about, he has been also speaking about the hope of glory. And the hope of glory, of course, is to very much assist us as we do have to endeavour to endure so many things as we are called to live the Christian life in the way that we are. And now, says the Lord's Apostle Paul, in fact, there is something else that the Lord has given for us to assist us as we endeavour to live this life. Likewise, he says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and so on. as we endeavor to live the life of faith here below, we are conscious, surely, of the many, many infirmities, the things that we are called to endure, the things that we are called to suffer, things that are hard to endure at times, things that are difficult to endure at times. But we have the hope of glory, you see, to help us, to support us as we are to endure these things in our lives. And now likewise, he says, we have all of this interceding work of the Holy Spirit of God himself to help us in our infirmities and to bring us safe home into heaven and glory at last. This great provision, you see, that has been made for us, along with the many, many other provisions that God has made for us, those things that will bring us safely through the world and into that world that shall have no end. So it's these verses then that we're going to look at this evening. The overall subject is the interceding work of the Holy Spirit of God. So we look at what is produced and what is perfected and what is presented in all of this interceding work. Now, bear with me this evening, because I'm sure you can see the nature of the verses that we come to. But first of all, what is produced? And what is produced, of course, are these groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, they are not the groanings of the Holy Spirit of God himself, of course, in that sense that the Holy Spirit groans in all of this interceding work on our behalf. It is not the Holy Spirit who groans. It is the believer in Christ who groans with groanings that cannot be uttered. And the way that that comes about is as the Holy Spirit of God produces these groanings within the heart and the soul, causes these groanings to rise up within the believing child of God. These groanings which cannot be uttered are then taken, you see, and perfected and presented before the Lord our God in heaven above, and they are taken and perfected and presented before God by the same Holy Spirit who produces the groanings in the first place. When we know not what we should pray for as we ought, when we have no words, as it were, to utter with our lips, then the Spirit of God, who dwells within each and every believing child of God, causes us to groan with groanings that cannot be uttered. There is no way, you see, in which the Holy Spirit of God himself could be lost for words, would have nothing to say. He, in that very special sense, is the very author of this Word of God from beginning to end. Holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And what the Lord's apostle is speaking about is what the Holy Spirit of God produces within the hearts and souls of God's people when we are lost for words and when we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Then he, in that work which is his within us, he produces these groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, even in the Old Testament days of the Word of God, all of this aspect of things wasn't lost, even in the Old Testament servants of God. And you get David at one point saying, "My heart makes a noise within me." He doesn't even know what it is. He says it's a noise. "My heart makes a noise within me. I'm so troubled," he says in another place, "that I cannot speak, but all my desire and my groaning is not hid from thee." And you see, my friends, there is one who perfects the groanings, shows it for what it really is, presents the groaning before the Lord our God. The desire of our heart is not hid from God. And he is the one who produces the groanings within us in the first place and goes on doing that until we are brought into heaven and into glory at last. You see then that we have two advocates. We have two paracletes, two comforters, two intercessors. We have one who is above, and we have one who is within. The one who is above, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who ever lives to make intercession on our behalf, the one whom the apostle draws in later on in the course of the chapter in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. But that's not all that I have in that sense, you see, in all of the will of God and the provision of God to bring me safe home to glory at last. And if I have one above, carrying out that side of his intercession work for us, if I am a believer in Christ, then I have one within who is doing the exact same thing in his way to bring me home to glory and heaven at last. Those definitive words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem, and you remember, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Later on, when Christ is risen from the dead, he will say to that woman, Mary, go tell my brethren, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. But now you see, he is telling his brethren in advance, as it were, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another paraclete. Literally, one who will draw alongside of you. An advocate. One who will be with you. I am going back to the Father. Christ was going back to his place above. But there would be one who would be given, who would take his place within the heart and within the soul of everyone who would ever truly profess Christ as the Savior. And as he does so as an intercessor on our behalf, producing within our hearts and within our souls, these groanings which we could never ever utter with our lips. When it comes to the whole business of prayer, don't we know, my friends, in so many ways, at the end of the day, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But in the light of that, in the midst of that, because we are encompassed with infirmities like that, there is one within, interceding on our behalf through these groanings which he produces and then perfects and then presents before God in heaven on our behalf. So he says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, let's look at this perfecting side of things and this presenting side of things. And with regards to all of that, something so humbling, and yet like so many humbling things for us in the pages of God's Word, something so comforting and so consoling at the same time. And you see that statement of the Lord's Apostle to begin with, that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Isn't that a humbling statement? Isn't that something, my friends, that should put every one of us in our place where we ought to be? Quite obviously, there are many things that we do know when it comes to the issue of prayer in our lives. And we do know these things because the Word of God plainly tells us these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But says the Lord's Apostle, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that's where the Holy Spirit of God comes in, you see. As he abides within us in all of this work that he produces within our souls. He helps our infirmities, says the apostle. And in a very real sense, nowhere are we more infirm than when it comes to the place of prayer in our professing life of faith. Prayer in general, my friends, is the product of the Holy Spirit of God working in a person's soul at the very commencement of the Christian life. On the day of Pentecost, when those Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How is a person saved? Through something they produce in themselves? Through some works of righteousness? Through some upbringing? Through some nationality? Through some church attachment? No, no, no. A person is saved when they call on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. I perish. That's how the Christian life begins, my friends. And most assuredly, that's how the Christian life continues all the days of our life. Every day that we live, our hearts and our voices are lifted up into the presence of God, asking for those things that we stand in need of every day that we live. But what about those days, those times when we know not what we should pray for as we ought? What happens in those days, my friends, when we are lost for words, when there's not one utterance that comes out of our lips that we're sure of, when we don't know what to ask in the light of all the particular circumstances of life that has come upon us? What then? And it's at those very points, you see, that the Holy Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. And those times, my friends, when there is little else that a believing child of God can do but cry and groan and cast everything upon the Lord their God. Groanings indeed that may escape into the lips or out of the lips at times in one form or another, but groanings that are produced by the Holy Spirit of God, perfected by the Holy Spirit of God, and presented before God by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if you take in the whole picture, the whole process at this point, as I say, those times when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, and when the Holy Spirit of God carries out that work towards us, causes those groanings that cannot be uttered, to well up within our hearts and within our souls. You see, the glorious point is this. Those groanings which the Holy Spirit of God brings forth within the soul are all in accordance with the absolute perfect will of God for our hearts and our lives. You see, if you take in the whole picture, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, now that's God, God the Father, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, or what the mind of the Spirit is, knows what is contained within those groanings, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. These intercedings that come in the groanings that cannot be uttered are in absolute accord with the perfect will of God for our lives. They are expressing the perfect will of God. They comprise our asking for something that is in accordance with the perfect will of God for our lives. You see, not all our asking, not all our praying is in accordance with the perfect will of God. Now, we know that. And if we don't know that, simply read the Bible. And the Word of God makes it perfectly clear there are those occasions when ye ask amiss. When ye ask amiss. Remember dear old Elijah when he was down in his boots after that confrontation with that woman Jezebel, or at least with Ahab and the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel. You remember how he prayed? You remember what he asked? He said, Lord, take my life away. He was praying amiss. He was praying amiss. He was groaning. Lord, take my life away. But the groanings weren't groanings produced by the Holy Spirit. And as we've said in relation to Elijah, there are many a prayer, and we should be thankful that God puts his fingers over his ears, as it were, and doesn't listen to those prayers, and certainly doesn't answer those prayers. That's why, as we constantly pray, don't we constantly pray on the back of our prayers, Lord, if it be thy will, if it be thy will. But these groanings of the heart, you see, which cannot be uttered, produced by the Spirit of God, are always in accordance with the will of God. As those groanings are the work of the Holy Spirit of God, they are produced by him, taken by him, perfected by him, presented before the throne of God, and they comprise the perfect will of God for the believing people of God. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, as I say, that's a very humbling thing on the one hand and a very consoling, very comforting thing on the other. And isn't it a humbling thing to be told that there are many a time, or there are many times, when we know not what we should pray for as we ought? Isn't that a humbling thing? You know, it's good to be humbled. You'll get no better blessing to your soul than when God humbles your soul in order to lift you up. And here's a humbling thing, says the apostle. We know, now he says, we know not. He doesn't say, you know not. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You see, you get that idea on the part of some people that you must produce great sounding words before God in the course of our prayers. Great flowing sentences, great flowing sentiments, original sparks of thought, new ways to present old things before God. You know that kind of thinking. I don't know if the angels of heaven smile, but I would reckon there must be big smiles spread across their face when they see some puny human trying to impress the Lord of glory with the words of their mouth. Surely, my friends. And you see, something that we're to lay hold of here is this. Don't get intimidated with that kind of thinking. Be sure of this, my friends, that the devil will stem the prayers of God's people in whatever way he can. In whatever way he can. And one of the ways that he does it is by instilling into people's hearts, well, I can't open my mouth in prayer. Now, we pray with the heart. We pray silently. All of those things. But I'm speaking about those prayers that we are to articulate with our mouths before God. And the one way that the devil can work against that is by intimidating people into thinking that they can't utter great words like some others seem to be able to do. Therefore, their mouth is stopped and the prayers aren't forthcoming. I've got no doubt about this, that as with regards to many other things in heaven, there will be many surprises when it comes to just who it was that really prayed and really prevailed before the throne of grace. Some insignificant believer in the eyes of men who at some point uttered a few stammering words before God, which, under the will of God, turned a whole course of events through that prayer. It's God we're dealing with, my friends. God doesn't need us in any way. God is merciful to us. And one of the ways that he's merciful to us is that we can lift up our hearts and our voices in prayers before him. But get the issue right and settle the issue right in your heart and in your soul. There are many imperfections in our prayers, but of course there are perfections in our prayers as well, and we must never forget that. And where do the perfections in our prayers come from? Well, they're all bound up in these groanings which cannot be uttered. When we are in a strait betwixt two, as the Lord's Apostle says in another place, those times, as I've said, when we can but sigh or groan or take things before God as we only know them in our hearts and in our souls, those sighings, those tears, the creatings of the Holy Spirit of God, which he takes and presents before the Lord in heaven. We don't know what they mean, but he knows what they mean. And the one that he brings them before knows what they mean. And they are in accordance with his will and his purpose. You see how dependent we are, my friends, on the place of prayer for our lives, but that's not the end of the story. Because we are dependent on the Holy Spirit of God in relation to our prayers. And at those times, when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, then the Holy Spirit takes up that position within our souls, produces the groanings that cannot be uttered, and sets them before our Father in heaven. Let me just try and throw in some of those things to our hearts and our souls then in conclusion. And this interceding work of the Holy Spirit then on our behalf is all part and parcel of God's way of bringing us to glory at last. The interceding work of Christ, the unforgettable words of the Lord's Apostle, you remember, in Hebrews chapter 7, as he looks back to all of the old high priests in the nation of Israel who came on the scene, and they lived for a certain period of time, and then they died, and they went the way of all flesh. But says the Lord's Apostle, he says, but this man, our Lord Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come on to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save them to the uttermost, and that means the terminus of our soul's salvation, right into heaven and glory at last. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Why? Because he died for them? Oh, yes. But because he lives for them, and ever lives to make intercession on their behalf. Forgive them, O forgive, he cries, or let that ransomed sinner die. And Christ, you see, is interceding above, before the presence of God above. But there is the intercessory work then of the Holy Spirit of God within. And that is to accomplish the self-same ends of our Lord Jesus Christ above. And how keenly aware the Lord's Apostle was of that fact. You see how he runs in to the next set of verses, and don't detach any of these verses. Verse 27 again. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. His will and his purpose is to bring us into heaven, into glory at last, and that work is also perfected by the Spirit of God. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God, so that we know, says Paul, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose, according to his will, according to the end product of our soul's salvation and glory forever and evermore. Bringing sinners to glory is God's work, and he will perform it. And that doesn't mean for 1 minute that we are not to lay firm hold upon those means that he has presented into our hands for coming to glory, the place of prayer included. But because our prayers, like everything else that belongs to us, are so imperfect, so the Lord then has given this perfect intercessor who presents perfect intercessions in the way that he does. We have Christ on high, and we have the Holy Spirit within. And that's one of those double assurances when it comes to our being brought to heaven and glory. And all the mysteries of that, all the depths of that kind of thing, well, who can fully know until we are brought into heaven at last? But we read it, and we see it, and we believe it to the blessing of our souls while we are still on earth. In all probability, the old, straightforward, well-known illustration, I'm sure, says it all. A stranger comes into a house, and there's a small child. The child can't speak in the fullest sense, but it can make some sounds and it can make some gestures, and it does that. Now, the parent knows what the child is asking or saying or indicating. The stranger doesn't. Perhaps says to the parent, How do you know what he means? Well, I know what he means, he says, because I'm his father. You don't know what he means. You can only hear these sounds, but I know what he means. You remember how our Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples on one occasion, your heavenly Father knoweth the things that you stand in need of. Very often, my dear friends, we don't know the things that we stand in need of. Don't even know how to pray for the things. Don't even know what the things are. But at those points, the Holy Spirit of God steps in and does this great mysterious work. Produces the groanings which cannot be uttered. Presents them before the Father. And they are always in accordance with the Father's perfect will. And that's how we're brought to heaven and glory at last. Christ is above, the Holy Spirit is within, and all the work of God's salvation for those who are in Christ will be brought to perfection, to the glory and the honor of his name, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And may we know the truths in our hearts and place them in our hearts and feed upon them in our hearts every day.